majesty enthroned above, and I stand, in awe of you. I stand, in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you.
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray, Lord, just how true that is, Lord. Beautiful beyond description. Lord, but we believe that by your grace, our lives are expressing praise back to you, Lord. The things that you've done, the things you've worked in us, Lord, bringing you praise, all to the praise of the glory of your grace. Lord, you're amazing. We just want to tell you tonight how much we love you, how beautiful you are. With you, Lord, just seems like everything is settled, everything is satisfied, everything just fits in its place. It's just what you do, Lord, and we want to just express our love and our gratitude tonight. Lord, we've seen you, we do see you, but Lord, we just confess, we want to see more, we want to behold you once more. Would you grant that tonight, Lord, in the hearts of your people? Lord, just would you commune with each one? Would you be lifted up, Lord? It's the hour is late, it's dark, and Lord, we need encouragement. We ask that you would encourage your people tonight. Feed and build up and revive and maybe even resuscitate where it's needed, Lord. Help us. We give you all praise, all thanks. All glory. We ask this all now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much, musicians. Appreciate you, each one. God bless you all. Good to be here tonight. Good to be with you. Greetings to everybody online. Everybody okay?
Amen.
Amen. All is well. Amen. Right? Boy, just I have a couple praise reports. I'll just start off with that, and then we'll get into this. Couple things. I was, yesterday. Is it yesterday? I think had to run out kind of early afternoon to do a couple things, and meant to leave at a certain time, and I was running just a little bit behind. And sure enough, left a few minutes late getting out the door. And my goodness, a terrible, terrible accident on Highway 7, right by us, Highway 7 in Williston. So you just can't help but wonder, boy, was that Lord keeping me behind? You know, I think he does that for us all the time, to be honest. So he's so good. Just appreciate those things. But another just a praise report, really big praise report. I've been working in a contract position. I think everybody's probably aware of that. And that was supposed to end on March 15th, which is next Friday. And they've talked about extending it into early May. But I've been also having some conversations with some guys that I used to work with long ago. And they offered me a job. And so I start Monday the 18th. So praise the Lord. Just amazing to see him work. You know, I was actually sharing with the family, looking back, I almost am kind of in a little bit of a shock, to be honest, when I think of being laid off twice in about a 10-month span, and yet there was a grace, there was a real grace there given that was just amazing. That's all I can say. So the Lord is faithful. Didn't miss a beat. You know, I think I shared this before, but was after I had been laid off, I was called the next day by a friend of mine and asked if I was interested in this contract thing, and I said, yeah, of course. So just to see the Lord going before me, orchestrating all this, and it's just a blessing. You know, so many times I think it's grace. We go through these seasons, and it's like you're almost just like a bystander, just watching Him perform and arrange everything and work it all out, and it's just awesome. So thank the Lord. The Lord is just, yes, ma'am.
Well, could you give about one or two sentence definition of where you're going? Because it's so neat to see the
Lord. Sure. Everybody, I'll share with that afterwards. It's a pretty, I think, pretty neat place. So I'll just, healthcare related virtual technology. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. But I think it's pretty exciting. So, my goodness. The Lord is good. Amen. So good. Let's just start out tonight. I've got the Lord leads us in different ways, and just a thought, a word, phrase that came to me, and I was just meditating on it, and I just trust the Lord will use it, and it'll be a blessing tonight, and I'm just so thankful. As this world around us fails more and more every day, we're part of a kingdom that does not, that will not. So,
amen.
Lord, tune us more into that reality, the true reality. It's my prayer. So let's stand. We'll just open up with a reading here. Psalms 124. For the first... All right. So we'll just go ahead and read that whole chapter. But starting with verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, can't you say amen to that? Don't you feel, how true is that? Now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. And then just one more while we're standing, and we'll go on from here many more, but 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, amen. 2 Corinthians 2, and we'll just read verse 14. The first part of 14 there says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen. You can be seated. And I just want to meditate on that. Boy, isn't that, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. If it had not been for the Lord on our side. Every one of us, each one of us, we've got our own story. He's writing a book called Emma. He's writing a book called Peter Snow. He's writing a book called Ron Morris. He is writing that book. Each one reflecting and displaying His grace. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. And so we just want to talk about grace. It's kind of our theme. But the word, the phrase that was just, you know, came to me, and you know, you could use so many words to describe grace. It's mysterious. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's on and on. So many of these things. But one word, again, that came to me as I was just the Lord put on my heart, and that's prevailing grace. And, you know, the Bible, our as well as our own lives, are full of examples and testimonies where the only possible explanation is grace. Amen? What couldn't, shouldn't, wasn't supposed to, what was humanly possible, etc., 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 but God. You know, He made a way. He worked. He did it. And each one of us, again, we have that witness. We have that testimony. And what really jumped out at me, where this really begins to take on so much depth and beauty here, is I often go back into Noah Webster, the 1828 dictionary, the original dictionary, not the some of the stuff that's perverted today, and looked up that word prevailing. And I love this. It's predominant, having more influence, prevalent, and superior in power. So I just thought that, and you take that and think of that with grace. Grace that has more influence. Grace that is superior in power. I thought, oh, that's rich. That's rich. You know, we have our plans, and we have our ideas and all these things, and we get so short-sighted, and we're looking through our eyes. We're forgetting that eternal view of God's grace and his plan, his purposes, his will that is more superior in power and has more influence than, of course, than ours. So we're just going to go through a little bit of a study tonight again with that thought of prevailing grace. Aren't you thankful for that? I need that. Yeah. I'm so thankful for that reality. And we can go through the scriptures. We will hear in a moment, you know, thinking of even Ephesians chapter 2, such were some of you, et cetera, et cetera. But God, rich in mercy. Mm-hmm. But God. My own life, my own, you know, was going a certain way, whatever the situation is, but God. Amen. That purpose and plan of God that is so far superior and greater in power than ours, than what we think. So let's turn to one. Let's go through a couple of these. Let's go to John chapter 1. We'll hit a few. Some of these I'll just kind of quote. So familiar, John chapter 1. And verse, John chapter 1, sorry, and verse 12, I love this. Here we go, grace. But as many as received him, is that present tense? It absolutely is. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now look at verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So there's a birth there, clearly, that's not beyond our natural birth. A spiritual birth, much greater, much superior, and that's the one, there's our true identity right there. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And then verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received. That's deep. And grace for grace. My. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So again, I just think this reality of prevailing grace, his grace that's so superior. We can get discouraged, and we do when we look at ourselves, when we look at the conditions around us. I'm so amazed. I love to go back into the sermons, and for example, I think it's God of this evil age, to see where he talks about in this day, this darkest of times, God is going to raise up a bride. So contrary, and then here's more wording that I love, more wording of the prophet that I love, and this one is restoration of the bride tree, where he talks about regardless of the conditions. Go look up that phrase, regardless of conditions. He's going to raise up that bride tree. So it doesn't matter the circumstances, doesn't matter how dark, how difficult, how painful, how he's going to do it. And it's because it's his grace. And we look at grace, we've been taught. We know truly in this day what grace really means. We don't have, we don't have a sloppy view of grace. We know it's not wishy-washy. We know it's not here to tickle my fancies and make me feel good. His grace is 100% intertwined with his word and his will. So it's all perfectly tied together. And because of that, it's superior. Because of that, it's got greater power. supreme power. I love that. Amen. So let's just continue on with this study, this look tonight. And we just quoted Ephesians. We didn't turn there, but I love, again, we mentioned, I shared this last time, Ephesians 3:20, that he's working. Well, let's turn there real quick. Let's go back to that. Sorry. I'm going to touch on that once more. Sorry, Galatians, yep, sorry, no, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, yep. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So there's that power at work in us. And of course, it seems silly to even say this, but he's not constrained by even our, he's not limited by our own thinking. Yeah. So even beyond what I'm thinking, beyond my mind, he's beyond that. He's working according to his will, accomplishing his purposes. I'm so thankful for that. Turn back to the Old Testament. So I'm sorry, we got going back and forth here. Isaiah 43. The power of his grace, the power of election. Thank you, Lord. Verse 1, but now... All right, yeah, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. I'm with you, and I'm your constant. I am with you. I'll see you through. No matter what happens, my grace is sufficient. My grace is prevailing, superior in power, and having more influence. So you think, well, my past, my body, my aches and my ailments and all these things, again, that's our short-sighted human condition that limits us. We get so focused on those things. But true grace prevails. It's superior in power, and it has more influence. Let's keep reading there. Verse 4 in Isaiah 43. Since thou wast precious in my sight and hast been honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. There it is. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Nothing is going to prevail or prevent that work of his calling and his election. Don't you believe, don't you love that? Amen. I love how he says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Amen. Brother Bram here in the message, Redemption by Power, he says, I love that. Jesus, after Jesus rose from the dead, his words were constantly, fear not. Fear not. He says, that's what's the trouble with the church today, is scared to death you're going to make a failure. How can you fail when you're in Christ? You've got everlasting life. All demons in hell can't shake you. Amen. So see what happens. He comes. He gets us, our eyes look pointed inward. Mm-hmm. Keep our eyes up on him. Who we're in, who we're a part of. See, his grace wins. He prevails. He's greater. I love that. All demons in hell can't shake you. You've got everlasting life. Jesus said so. So don't be scared of failure. My goodness. Here's another one. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth. Or sorry, in the message, I know my Redeemer liveth. He says, what an assurance upon this solid rock, the resurrection of our blessed lover, the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Nothing can destroy it. It's been planted. It's the seed of God. It's a purpose of God to give us the blessed Holy Spirit. It is the purpose of God to show us signs and wonders and miracles. It's the purpose of God, and nothing can destroy it. So there we go. Talk about prevailing grace, prevailing His purpose, His word. It's the purpose of God, and nothing can destroy it. All powers of hell might wager against it, but it will prevail. There you go. Exactly. Amen. We have God's eternal promise. There may be teachers, there may be isms rise, there may be great programs rise, there may be things that look like it would be destroyed, but it can never be destroyed. It's the purpose of God to see that it will prevail. Then it's not up to me. Glad. It's not up to you. Thank you, Lord. Whether it will be destroyed or not, it's up to God, and we can rest assured on it that God will never let our heritage be destroyed, for it's His purpose to give it to us. Rest in Him, in that reality, His prevailing grace. He wins every time. His word cannot fail. And I love this. I couldn't help but just think of this again, and I'll quote it. We'll turn to some more scriptures here in a minute, but Genesis 28, those beautiful words to Jacob. Oh, yes. Behold, I'm with you. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and bring thee again into this land. I will not leave you until I've done to you that which I've spoken of. Now it's covered, it's settled, it's done. What a promise, what an assurance, what a place of rest. Oh my. Yep, exactly right. So let's turn. We've been here recently, but we'll go back to Romans 4:16. Just touch on a couple here in Romans. And again, amazing grace, prevailing grace. So 4:16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I love that. The promise, it is grace the first part. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all of the seed. Now, while we're here, I want to jump over to chapter 5. Again, thinking of this reality of prevailing grace, His grace that is greater, superior in power, having more influence. I love that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And what we're going through here, we know this, we're acquainted with it, but what I love here, what's expressed through this whole chapter, we could read it all, but I love those much mores, much more. Much more. Hey, I'm a failure. I don't deserve it. I can't. But God. And there's that again. We just see that reality of that prevailing, dominant grace of God all the way through here. So verse 12, we'll read here a little bit. Whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. Here we go, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many be dead, much more, there we go, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's keep going. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, here we go, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Amen. By Jesus Christ. We can continue on, but I love that's what's captured there, and the reality of God's grace being so much more prominent, so superior in power. Again, So I don't know, real quick, it just reminded me, did anybody happen to connect into Good Shepherd last weekend and check out that or watch that service? It was a blessing. There was a, I guess he was from the UK, this Christian Kambale or whatever his name is. Really good. I really enjoyed it. Good revelation songs, good present light, truth and things. But he had this one song, and I don't remember if it was titled this, but it was essentially Eternity Wins, and it's talking about here I'm trapped in this body, but guess what? Before this body, I was part of him. I was part of eternity. I was a part of him. So this body begins, this body ends. Eternity wins. That's my true identity. And I just thought that was so good, very encouraging, a real blessing. Amen. Paul here, and this is just quoting this one, 1 Corinthians 15, and we know this, he says, in all, last of all, 15 verse 8, last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. So here I am, I'm standing, I'm here today. It's by the grace of God, period. And I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. I just love that prevailing grace, grace that is greater than our circumstances, greater than our past, greater than our conditions and our circumstances, grace that is his grace, superior in power, according to his purpose and his plan, not ours. Our eyesight's so limited. This is encouraging. This is from the message, Perseverance. He says, aren't we happy? Yep, I'm happy. Are you happy? We haven't got a thing to worry about. Not a thing. We've anchored in Christ, setting in heavenly places, caught up in rapturing grace right now. Now, I love that phrase, rapturing grace. It's just so rich. That's the truth. Setting in his presence in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, death itself can't touch us. We're anchored away. Nothing can bother us. Just simply secured and waiting for his coming, and we're grateful for this. Let me read that again. Death itself can't touch us. Anchored away. Nothing can bother us. Just simply secured and waiting for his coming. So he just did what a picture there of being so secure, so hidden in Christ. Amen. And Jude, this is in Jude chapter 1, verse 24. I want to read this to you in the Wiest translation. If you want to turn there, you feel free. But I just thought this was so beautiful here in the Wiest. He says, now to the one who is able to guard you from stumbling and to place you before the presence of his faultless glory. Presence of his glory, faultless in great rejoicing, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, might, and authority before all time, both now and forever. I love that. The beginning of that, just how it starts off. Now to the one who's able to guard you from stumbling. Is he guarding you? Has grace brought you? Has grace kept you? Is grace going to bring you all the way there? Is grace going to prevail? Yes, grace is going to prevail because it's his purpose, his plan. It is so far superior and so much more powerful than what we even realize to think of that. Isn't that amazing? And I love Isaiah 54:17. We'll just quote that. You don't have to. What does it say? No weapon formed against you will succeed, will prosper. That's reality. So is all hell is against the church? Is all hell against the revelation of Jesus Christ in this day? But will it prevail? No. His grace prevails. His word prevails. And we're a part of that. All him. But it's all to his praise. All to his great glory. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. I love just to kind of tie this in. Let's see. Sorry, going in the wrong direction. First Corinthians 1, just the end of the chapter. And I think, again, just testifying and witnessing to the power of his grace, of him and him alone getting glory. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. There it is, grace. It's all him. It's all grace. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, according as it is written, let he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. My whole testimony, my whole life, my whole, it's him. Nothing but him. Amen. I think we can all say that tonight. I love that. Romans 9:16, right along with that. So it's not of him that willeth, or him that runneth, or him that anythingeth, but God that showeth mercy. That's it. His grace prevails. When it could, when we look at ourselves, our conditions, and it couldn't happen, it shouldn't happen, it's not supposed to happen, it's impossible, whatever, grace prevails. The Bible's full of it. Amen. I love this. It's so interesting. This is me just confessing, maybe my turn to confess. I'm slow, but so often Zechariah 4:6 is quoted by itself without, I love this, 4:6 and 7. He said, spake and said unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. All right? What comes next? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel shalt, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace, God's grace. So I thought that was so amazing to me, just to see that, those two verses right next to each other. Not by might, nor by power, by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's all we can claim. That's all we can point to is grace, God's grace. Blessed be his name. This is from the message, a trumpet gives an uncertain sound. He says, but the word of God has no end because it had no beginning. Amen. It's eternal with God. And if you're anchored and the word is anchored in you, you are eternal with the word. Amen. He says it's got to come to its end. All those things are shaking, no matter how big they're building a pillar, it's got to fall down. All of those things that's against that word or contrary to it will have to move. It'll have to give place because the word is coming triumphantly. He says there's nothing can stop it. God has done said so. When he speaks it, heavens and earth will pass away, but it will never fail. Hide that word in your heart. How to take that word and let it grow. Keep it in your mind always, because it will never fail. God's words will never fail. He said it wouldn't. Amen. So I just like how he's talking about just that infallibility and God's word being so safe, so secure, so solid. And then he says, keep your mind stayed on these things. Hide it in your heart. Keep it in your mind always, because it will never fail. I just love that place of safety. And I love, isn't it, in Token, where he talks about, this token, the Holy Spirit, who's in our midst. He says it's such a guarantee. It makes you so secure, so relaxed. Think of that. I love that. Okay, moving on here. This is in the resurrection of Jesus, the message. Now, if you notice, it's when you are discouraged when the devil can really pour it on. Yep. That's when he gets you. And if you come to church and say, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I'll get better or not. I've been prayed for twice. Oh my, you may as well go home, that's all. But when you can cast that aside, God don't worry, want you to be frowning. God wants you to be happy. The human heart was made to be happy. Worry will cause cancer. Temper will cause cancer. Don't never be upset. Just walk in love. Amen? Knowing you're walking in Him and nothing can harm you. There's nothing can harm you. There's neither powers. Here we go. Prevailing grace. Superior grace. Superior in influence and power. There's neither powers. Things present, things future, nothing can separate us from Him. We're in Him. We never come in by our own will. Yes. He, by choice, elected us and brought us into Him. See, so it's His business to take care of what He's took Himself. I like that. Does that give you just a little, some rest and some comfort there? Let me say that again. He says we never even come in by our own will. He by choice elected us and brought us into Him. So it's His business. Glad. I'm glad because I'm not very good at His business. He's better at His business than I am at His business, right? It's His business to take care of what He's took Himself. No man can pluck them from my mother, from my Father's hands because He's the greatest of all of them. Amen? It's the Father who takes care of it. Who's got any more powers than God? So what kind of a power do you got to take care of you? The whole powers that created the universe, amen, the solar system, and said He blew it, every star went into its place, and He watches over you. Wow. That's encouraging. I hope that's a blessing. That's the kind of Father we have. Amen. Just a few more as we wind down here. Let's go to Romans 8. We can't leave that one out. We know he's just quoted that, but I want to head there anyway. Let's Romans 8, end of the chapter there. And I guess we'll start with 28. And we know that all things, there we go, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That is prevailing grace right there. Superior, far superior to the conditions, to what we might feel or see or anything. It's there. It's His grace. 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Pre-planned. I love that. How many times does Brother Ram talk about that? Everything's pre-planned. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Now, here we go, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Here we are, prevailing grace. Grace that is superior in power and of greater influence. I like to sometimes, we'll come back to this in a minute. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able. Now we'll stop right there. That covers, I think He's got the ground covered there. But I will say this, is just to challenge us. What is your fear? What is your, what's got you, where is Satan attacking you? You insert that there. I'm persuaded that whatever it is, it's not going to separate me from the love of God in Christ. And, you know, again, this age that we live in, the influences of this age, they're terrible. You know, you want to just throw these things sometime. But what's got greater influence ultimately? Is God, is this going to be superior, or is God's plan and his purpose and his will going to be his grace superior to anything of this realm and this dimension that the enemy can throw at us? He will be victorious. He wins. Eternity wins. Allah, amen. Amen. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? Just a few more things here. This is from Christ, the mystery of God revealed. I love this. I mean, just you could go through that of like all of them, just paragraph by paragraph, and just nurse and enjoy it, and chew on it. And predestinated, paragraph 184, predestinated. There's the mystery. He, before Christ or anything was ever on the earth, you see this great mystery that he chose the bride. He chose you, knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing what she would fall, but he chose a bride that would not fall. Amen. That would hold to that word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to that word. Predestinated a bride. She's going to stand. She's going to hold it. She's going to overcome. You are going to overcome because you've been ordained, predestinated to it. His grace, his power, his word, his plan is superior in power, in influence, than ours. He wins. They are predestinated to stand there, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, predestinated the church to that great, glorious stand. Beautiful words, don't you just, doesn't that make you happy? All right, one more, Christianity versus idolatry. He says we are partakers of his holiness. We, in his image, we are living images of a living God, then dead to self, raised with him. Now listen to this. His word made flesh again in us, in you, in me. Look, what? He says, not some mythical imaginary God sitting out there, but the living God. What is the living God? The word in you making itself real. There, yeah, isn't that beautiful? Phew, he says, glory to God. I know you think I'm a holy roller. Maybe I am, but oh, brother, don't you see it? Now listen, triumph over every denomination, triumph over all paganism, a living God made manifest in a living temple. The word of God, which is God, is made flesh in you. So don't you see the rest there, that true identification when we get back to who I am and who I am a part of, we rest there. So as long as our eyes on this external man, outside man, the circumstances with it, I'm a failure, I can't, yeah, we fall apart, we stumble real quick. But when we go back to that true identity, his purpose, his word, that I'm a part of, yes, I can't fail. No wonder he says, you go look up all those places, he says, you can't fail. It's because of you, who you're in and who you're a part of. That's your real identity. He says, there it is, the living God made manifest in a living temple, the word of God, which is God, is made flesh in you. And your seat, why? He says, you're seated in heavenly places, triumphed over all things in Christ Jesus. Amen. I just love it. He says, I have to skip something and go on. Now listen, the rest, the least of the believers, here we go. The least of his believers, no matter how long or how little or whoever you are, the least of his believers has all evil under them. See? Look, Christ is the head of the body. Is that right? Wherever the body, the head is, the body's with it. Glory. Where my head goes, it takes my body with it. And where Jesus is, the church is with him. Amen? He don't get out of his word. I like that. He stays with his word. Watches over it to make it manifest. Now listen, his church is with him. You say, Brother Branham, I'm the least. That's the soles of his feet. But remember, he's triumphed with you. There's your safety. There's your security. He's triumphed with you over every bit of it. Even if you're the soles of his feet, every sickness, every devil, every power, even death itself is under you. under your feet, glory. He says, if I can just get the church to see that, we'll be a triumphant church. Believers in him, all evil is under him. Oh my goodness, there's your identification, brothers and sisters, who you're a part of, who you're in.
Amen.
And again, because of that, we can say, yeah, his grace prevails. His grace has prevailed. His grace is prevailing. His grace will prevail. It has more influence. It's superior in power than what I see, what I think, what I feel, the circumstances around me. Eternity wins. Mm-hmm. Amen. Don't you love that? Blessed be his name. And I just love even, well, just one more in closing. Second Corinthians chapter 12, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. My grace is made perfect, or my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. That he learned that. He came to that place in his own life. I'll let go and I'll let his grace prevail. I'll realize that his grace and his power is actually employed or manifested in my own weakness and my own ability. So stop looking at yourself. Stop complaining and getting down and all that, and see who you're a part of, who you're in. Amen. That you're triumphant. I love that. All, if you're the least, you're in his foot, then all evil is still under you because you're in him. Amen. And he prevails. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for, Lord, the grace that you have given to us, Lord, each one of us. We each one can testify and witness to what you've done in our lives, and we're standing here even tonight by your grace, Lord. No other explanation, Lord, but your grace prevails. Father, we thank you for the reality of your truth, of your word, and the revelation of it, and all that you've opened up in this last day, Lord. It's so rich just to see our true identity, our true position in Christ, Lord. We just adore you tonight. We pray that you would express these things where I've failed and truly am incapable, Lord. Would you just now to each and every heart minister these things and speak to each one what they have need of, Lord. We give you all praise, all glory, all thanks in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh my, we got so much. We could sing. We could sing half the songbooks, really, if we're on a subject like that tonight. Grace. But I will. There's one that I had just in my mind. I was thinking of. Let's turn in the inserts. Just worship the Lord. You want to stand with me? Let's praise him. Sorry, I think it's 16. He will deliver me. And I love these words, okay? He watches over me so tenderly, so constantly, and I rest easy in his care. Now look at the end of this. Every enemy I face will be defeated by his grace. Do you believe that? Amen. Let's sing that. He is the shepherd of my heart. He watches over me so tenderly, constantly. And I rest easy in his care. He is the champion of my soul. Every doubt and fear for me instantly, and every enemy I face will be defeated by his grace. Because he loves.
His is the battle, and His the victory over every foe. I trust in Him because I know He will deliver me because He loves me. Though I should walk through darkest night, He will deliver me from pain and sorrow. His wondrous power will be revealed, and He will deliver me.
Amen. Though I should walk through darkest night, He's there. Confident in Him, He will deliver me. His is the battle, and His the victory. Amen. Don't you love Him? Let's pray. Christian, would you come and close for us tonight?
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you this day. Thank you that we could all come here to worship, and I pray that we would all have a safe drive home. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you all. You're dismissed.